Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, sponsored by Unibet, ahead of the biggest week of flat racing, full stop. My name is Ross Briley. I'm stepping in for Sam Hart, who's had to pull out of this recording because his wisdom tooth has come through at an inopportune time. But don't worry, we've still got three very wise men for you to go through the action. Ed Nicholson, Matt Rennie and Harry Wilson join us with their top five bets in descending order at the big meeting this week. But first, Ed, what have you got up your sleeve for Royal Ascot, apart from, hopefully, five winners?
Yeah, plenty of offers, Ross. Just been looking at the offers for Tuesday, actually. We're going money back second or third on the Coventry Stakes on day one. Every day we'll have money back second or third. We'll also have extra places on all the major handicaps. Industry best price, top price, 9 a.m. on one big race each day. The best place to go to find out all these offers and rewards, there'll be plenty more as well, is to go to unibet.co.uk/enclosure. Which is appropriate enough for Royal Ascot. So it'll be www.unibet.co.uk/enclosure, and there'll be all the offers there. And we'll have a Racing Post advert every day in the newspaper as well.
Is there a dress code for this enclosure? Do I have to wear a posh hat to get the offers or anything like that?
No, but if you want to, send a picture to me. That'll be lovely.
Yeah, I'll see what I can rustle up. Yeah. Matt Rennie, you'll be up north, but enjoying the racing, of course. How are you looking forward to the week?
Very much so. It only feels like 2 months ago we were sat here doing this for the Grand National, because it literally was 2 months ago. But it's one of the favourite meetings of the year. It feels like summer's finally here, and it's good to see that the weather down south is going to be playing ball, hopefully, anyway. It's just top-class racing. I can't wait for the Prince of Wales Stakes. It's the capability of being the big best race of the year, probably across the world. So, no, very much looking forward to it. And alongside the World Cup as well, it's going to be some long days spent in front of the TV.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sleep is something we'll do in July, perhaps. And Harry Wilson, you'll be tipping your face off this week, of course. You have to get stuck into 1,000 form lines this week, but it helps when the racing's a little bit better than usual.
Yeah, and it just coincides with about 30 runner handicaps as well, which are arguably my favourite thing on this planet. So, yeah, the juvenile race is much of a guess-up as anything else, but I do like delving into the replays using your eyes, which I believe Tom Segal loves as well. So, yeah, big field handicaps, good racing, can't complain, Ross.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, well, let's get our teeth stuck into it. Sorry, Sam, pun intended, as we gear up for the five best bets in reverse order at Royal Ascot. And we'll start with you, Harry. Number five from you, my good man.
Number five, we're going to head to Friday for the Sandringham Stakes, and that is Darn Hot Gallop. Now, you might remember her. She ran in the 1,000 Guineas. She only beat two home that day, but given her rating of 86, it was always going to be a tough ask. And it's worth noting that she was unbeaten in three starts before that. And it's her handicap debut success that really marks her down as one to follow. The runner-up and third have both won since and are now £9 higher. While the favourite, who finished sixth, you might remember Weird Gooses went off a bit hard that day. He was in sixth and is now £11 higher. Darn Hot Gallop has been given just a £3 rise to a mark of 86, and that has to make her well handicapped. I'm not too fussed about a draw. If you are handicapped, you win. So it's Darn Hot Gallop in the Sandringham for me.
Darn Hot Gallop in the Sandringham then for Harry. What about you, Matt, coming in at number five? What have we got?
Yeah, we're going to go on the big race on day three, Ladies' Day. We're going for the Ascot Gold Cup, the 4:15. Look, I've put him in five, but I've gone with Raheeb to not an upset necessarily, but turn the tables on Scandinavia from their St. Ledger race last year. Look, I put him five because I think Scandinavia, he could be the next best staying generational talent. But I'm keen to take him on at the prices with a horse who, similarly like him last year, thrived when progressed when up in trip. And I was so taken, I was at the Dante meeting, I was so taken by his comeback in the Yorkshire Cup. And that day, it looked every inch that he needs these big staying trips, and he dismissed some pretty useful yardsticks in those group 2s, group 3 races. You see him Britain comprehensively. one of the reasons why I wanted to take Scandinavia on, and it probably will be irrelevant next week given how well he's progressed since then, but Rahib was ahead of Scandinavia in the Queen's Vase on the track last year. So I think it was a storming run from Rahib there. So I just want to take him on. I think he's a high-class stayer. Hopefully these two, Scandinavia and Rahib, will be the next two sort of popular battle-hardened favourites we see in these staying divisions so often. And I'm siding with Rahib on this occasion.
All right, Rahib for a yard who had a fantastic Saturday as well, coming in on very good form indeed. And Ed, number five for you. You're in a forgiving mood for this one.
I am, actually. I'm forgiving the horse that I'm choosing at number five because she got stuffed last time out. Minnie Hawk. Many people will be looking at this filly and be thinking, possibly, you know, she lost the Tattersalls. Will she be okay over 10 furlongs? Every race last year was over a mile and a half. First race, mile 3.5, but basically a mile and a half. Dropping down to 10 furlongs, one on seasonal debut at the Curragh, Group 2. But then in the Tattersalls, was too far back for my liking, and it wasn't a very fast pace. I think they'll probably know a lot more, and I really fully expect Ryan Moore to be following the pacemaker, which is interesting. They will have a pacemaker. I don't think he'll be too far away on Minnie Hawk. I think they'll be right up there. Who knows? They might be doing the old abracadabra trick and running a pacemaker and not using it as a pacemaker. And maybe Minnie Hawk actually goes from the front. But I think if you put that performance to bed last time, if you can forget about that, and you know, I think that's the best way as a punter. You can forgive a horse a bad run. The Racing Post ratings suggested it was a 103. When she's been like 118s, 120s. So yeah, that wasn't her running. The stable know how to run. They know she's a mile and a half horse. They're going to make good use of her. And therefore, the price at 8-1 or thereabouts, I think, is a really good price. So that's my number five value point. But also, I think you can forgive her the last run. And before that, she'd looked a really progressive 3-year-old last season. So yeah, Minnie Hawk, number five.
All right, Minnie Hawk then. The first headache I feel just coming on just thinking about Ballydoyle team tactics on the round course. So there'll be plenty of that to chat about. Let's come back to you first for number four, Matt. And you are taking on one of the red hot favourites of the week.
Yeah, taking on Venetian Sun. I feel like I'm almost going against the North by taking her on, given she's the big, big hope throughout the week. Look, she was so impressive at Haydock in the Sandy Lane Stakes, but I'm just going with course form. I know she obviously won the Albany, but I just really was taken by the way Coppel ran in the trial, well, the actual recognised trial for this on the trials day in May. I just think he's a lovely horse. He rarely disappoints. He had a really good juvenile campaign last season, ran a stormer when third in the Coventry Stakes on his, I think it was his second start. And I just thought there was plenty left to work with from his comeback run. We all know Clive Cox is an outstanding trainer of horses, but specifically with sprinters, and it feels like this had been on the radar for quite some time. You know, I don't know why, but I just can't seem to want to back Venetian Sun. I've had queries that she trained on properly until last time out, where she was brilliant. But for me, just I'm with Coppel on that course from this year already. I think he could be a really, really good high class prospect in a division which is really needing a superstar to emerge out, especially in Britain anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, top class sprints, anything can happen. We still don't know that much about these 3-year-olds. Right, so over to you then, Harry. And after an Australian World Cup victory, rather an apt tip in the Britannia.
Yeah, it's a shame as well because half my family are Turkish, Ross. But anyway, we'll leave that alone. Yeah, we're going to the Britannia Stakes, the 4:50 on Thursday, and that's Outback Heat. We all know that trainers can be creatures of habit, and it looks more than a coincidence that Outback Heat made a winning handicap debut in the same race Harry Eustace won in 2023 with Docklands, who followed up in the Britannia at Royal Ascot. I thought Outback Heat went through that course and distance success in the manner of one who had loads more to offer, and he looked a lot more value than the winning margin of less than a length suggests. I think he was just idling a bit in front, having got there plenty soon enough. He recorded a Racing Post rate of 94. He got a £6 rise to a mark of 91, so it looks workable. And given Harry Eustace had plenty of success at the Royal Meeting over the last couple of years, I think he's one to go with.
All right, lovely stuff then. Outback Heat in the Britannia. And Ed, first 2-year-old fancy of the week on the show for you.
Yeah, Ross, it's same as last year, really. I'm looking at a 2-year-old who's put in a very good speed figure last time. Phoenician Sun was that filly last year that won the Albany. And I'm going for a filly this time, but possibly in the Windsor Castle. She's also entered in the Albany, but the Windsor Castle comes before, so I'll put that up as the race. But whichever race she goes for, Controller, I think, has got a really decent chance based upon that first-time-out performance. She took on 5 winners in the Group 3 filly sprint last time out in Ireland, and she ran on really well, did the great daughter of Knight of Thunder, and she definitely showed a little bit of an experience, which is only correct because she was against fillies that had all had the benefit of a run, and did go down just to Victorious, but that was Victorious' second performance, and they finished 6 lengths clear of some really decent potential performers. But for me, it was a speed figure. There's been just over 200 two-year-old races in Ireland and England. She put up the second fastest, according to my speed figures. That race, obviously, Victorious was number one. That just highlighted the fact that she's probably well above average. And I just thought that Royal Ascot was beckoning for her, and David Egan can kick her clear in either the Windsor Castle or the Albany. But, I mean, that race at in Ireland that she won at Nace, it has produced some decent sorts over the years. Alpha Centauri, Mediate, Porta Fortuna, Fairy Godmother, they all won that race before going on to successful 2-year-olds and 3-year-old careers. So it is a race that lots of trainers would have pinpointed for their good first-time-out fillies. And the fact she went there first-time-out without a run in a Group 3 and put up a really decent speed figure suggests to me she's well above average. So that's one for me at number 4, Controller.
All right. And the trainer of Controller had another horse who just won the first race today at Cork, who was 4th behind Victorious on debut. So, yeah, a bit of form lines coming through as we record. Two fancies taking each other on next. Let's go to you, Matt, for number 3. And often the best place to start with any race at a festival is the previous year's race, and you're hoping that lightning strikes twice.
Absolutely so. And sort of, I had fancied Docklands for the Queen, obviously 2:30 on the opening day on Tuesday for a while, and then I sort of, after speaking to people, went off them a little bit. Everyone was saying he won a week running last year, and there's better horses in it this time around. But I'm still going to stick to loyalty with him. He just never runs a bad race at Ascot. We know that. And especially in this race as well. Second 2 years ago, getting up by nose from Rosalian last year. I obviously thought I was on Rosalian that day, so that was heartbreaking. I thought he was a proper, proper good horse. And I just think there's more questions about his main rivals than he is. He's such a solid performer and high class at this level. He's run some storms across the world in Group 1 race. Now I'm thinking Sha Tin last time round, and I think it was the Champions Day that they have in Hong Kong. He's run brilliantly in the Hong Kong Mile as well. They're top class horses that he's going up against, and I have reservations that Notable Speech, twice he's been to Ascot in his career, twice he's been below par, including this race last year, and he probably needs the luck in running to get through, as much as he's a fantastic horse as well. Opera Ballo, I'm still just unsure about if he's real top-notch level, despite winning impressively at Sandown last time. More Thunder, again, might need a bit of luck in running to get through the gaps, and we'll be finishing fast anyway. And Zeus Olympios, I probably just found one thing, is probably, as the cliche, Group 1.5 horse, Group 2 horse. So this Docklands, for me, he's ultra consistent. He'd have had this on the target for a long time. He's proven himself to be a high-class miler now, and people might want to grab him, but I think you can bet your bottom money he'll be there towards the finish at in the sort of the leading protagonist anyway.
Yeah, I mean, well, people keep grabbing him and he keeps winning, doesn't he? So horses for courses, of course. But Ed, you're hoping that lightning doesn't strike twice and instead it's thunder. And I think we're both in agreement. So let's take Matt on, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that. I love Docklands. I did back him last year, actually. And I had the forecast up with Rosalian, which was really nice. But he's a bit much shorter price this time. And if he was double the price, then yes, on a price point, I think he would be worth certainly an each way bet. I've seen a few notable experts have put him up each way, but he's a bit too short for me each way. So I've looked at the lockage, and I'm sure the winner will come from the lockage. It's just which horse. Notable Speech is a great horse. 2000 Guineas winner, had his first ever win in a Unibet-sponsored race at Kempton. And I think the Appleby bandwagon with that particular horse is probably over. I think that locking stake was his big race. I think he was ready to run. The stable weren't in great form then. They're still not in great form now, to be fair. But he's been to Ascot a couple of times, and he's not performed. Once around a bend, once down the straight. So I think you can take Notable Speech on for various reasons, just as mentioned. And in that race, More Thunder came from an uncompromising position. More uncompromising position you can't get, because he was last for most of the race. And he made his way through under Tom McQuan. Tom's actually said that he was on the, you know, he was too far behind. And if he could run the race again, he'd be a little bit nearer. He wanted to settle him over a mile, because obviously he has won races over 6 and 7. I think Willie Haggis has been on record as saying, you know, he's a 7 furlong mile horse. I think he was thinking about, you know, later on in the season, stepping up to a mile. But this race is just perfect for him. I selected him to win the Wokingham last year. So I was a bit disappointed when he just got beaten. As you said, Ross, he needs to find a way through. And sometimes that can be difficult in 30 runner handicaps, but it's not going to be that difficult in a reduced number of runners, Queen Anne, down the straight. He's a progressive horse. He's now rated 1-2-1. I mean, he got beaten off 98 in the Wokingham, so you know you could question my sanity, but he has shown that he's a much better horse. That second in the lock-in was his best performance over a mile. He started his career handicapping with Haggis, having been with Sir Michael Stout, off 87. Can you believe that? But over 6 furlongs. And I've listened to what William Haggis has been saying lately. You know, he always wanted to run him over a mile, but when he kept on winning at 6 and 7, why put him up? So I think the plan, as I say, has always been for a mile. I think the race will be run to suit. I think Tom McQuan will be a little bit nearer this time. And I think he's the one to take out of the lockage. And I think Docklands will be plugging on, but place at best for Docklands. And I'm all over More Thunder.
All right, More Thunder then, yeah. I thought it was an absolute certainty in the Wokingham last year. And it's very rare I feel like that in handicaps. Just about got over it, just about. Harry, number three for you. And again, I think you're just reading the news, mate. Talk of New York, the Knicks winning their first title in ages, the World Cup going on there as well. I mean, admittedly, we do also have an incredibly exciting horse to talk about. He looks a bit of a monster.
Yeah, I must admit, I've been a bit infatuated with Talk of New York since he made his debut. I watch a lot of all-weather racing, and I can't remember a horse who captured my imagination as much as he did. I went back and just delved into the times and stuff, and although the Topsby figure isn't like anything out of the norm, he did clock a time that was faster than anything Notable Speech managed, and he ran there 3 times before he won the Guineas. So we know what sort of calibre of horse we're dealing with. I actually backed him for the Guineas. So I guess where this is coming from, obviously I'm going to take on Boeco and Gestad again. Because I thought he'd win the Guineas. They decided to miss it, and in the long term that might actually help him. Not having to be trained so hard to be ready so early. They've given him the time that he needed. He couldn't have been more impressive at Sandown if he tried. Like, a lot of people will say, he had the pace to aim at, his stablemate set it up for him. But the way that he travelled through that race, and just, they're good horses in behind, and the way that he quickened up was just a sight to behold. And if we're talking about good horses, we've seen Gestad, we've seen Boeco proven at Group 1 level. This is the horse that could be anything. And I'd rather back him at whatever price he is, 4-5-1, than take the Guineas form on its merits.
All right, yeah, Talk of New York, who, like I said, he does give you, he's one of those goosebump horses, isn't he? So hopefully he will do something special. So at least put it up to Boeco and Gestad. Right, on to the number two selections. We'll come to you first, Matt, for this one. And again, starting off with last year's form lines. Hoping that Godolphin have another big winner here.
Yeah, following the same trends as Docklin, really. I'm siding with Team Ombudsman in the Prince of Wales Stakes, obviously, 4:20 on Wednesday, the second day. It's an absolute cracker, and it's great we've got the Arc winner coming over to Royal Ascot. I just think that Ascot, a mile and a quarter, is Ombudsman's bag. I know he was beaten in the Champion Stakes last year, but I think on quick ground as well, it's his absolute bag. Whereas I'm happy to take Tyrrhias on, because the only time he's travelled before to Britain, he flopped quite badly in the Jumble International. But obviously we saw what he did after that. But this is Ombudsman's sort of day, I think. I think there's greater days to come with Tyrrhias, especially in the Arc. Brilliant winner of the Dubai Turf earlier in the year, and he had to have been near optimum, if not even better, for that one. And that would have taken a bit out of him as well, given what happened. Well, given all the uncertainty, it was around Dubai World Cup night at the time in the mm-hmm. political sphere in the world. So to come back and win, beating Gethin, look, on the face of it, he had to work hard, but he was given weight and a beating, and he's obviously had intense training, travelling across the world. He's come back and done that against a horse who I think is probably going to be a Group 1 winner later on this season as well, so you can absolutely mark that one up. Yeah, he came into this last year off losing it, being second in the Brigadier Gerard Stakes, so he's done even one better than last year. I just think this is Ombudsman's day. Whether they meet again later on in the season, I think it could be maybe a different result, but for this day, this place, I'm with Team Ombudsman in the Prince of Wales Stakes.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Gethin looks a potential Eclipse / Judmont horse, isn't he? So should be exciting to see him in future, and Ombudsman coming back for another crack. Back to you then, Ed, for more two-year-old fun and games, and one of those bargain buy budget purchases for Wathnam Racing.
Yeah, well, you have to take notice of any Wathnam two-year-old that runs 4 to 5 weeks before Royal Ascot, because they're trying to gauge what race they run in as much as if they're good enough to run in. And as you say, a lot of them have cost a lot of money. I was at Bath when Flight Signal made his debut. Holly Doyle took over. The day, actually, she had that awful injury about two races later, but she took over from James Doyle because he was banned on that particular day. And she was so effusive about this horse after she got off and talked about him, because he was very green. I mean, you knew he was going to be green because the betting suggested he might not know exactly what to do. He was odds on in the morning, and he went off odds against, wasn't even favourite. I know the Clive Cox horse, who ended up favourite, I know they thought a bit of that. There was also another horse in the race that was well punted from outside odds, and they got firmly put in their place by this horse. If you get a chance and you don't know this horse, because he's only had one run, go to the Racing Post excellent website and look at its performance, because when Holly asked him to quicken, he basically quickened out of her hands and just went away and away and away. And she said to me after the race, she couldn't put him up. I immediately looked at the prices for the Norfolk and saw that 16 to 1. Was available, but there was a question mark that he might go for the Coventry. They've got two or three horses, so now he's 8 to 1. But I still think that's good value. We talked about earlier on about looking at horses with your eyes, and this horse just filled my eye, and it's backed up with a speed figure. I mean, one of the best runs at Bath on that ground this century as a first time out 2 year old. And, you know, I know it's Bath, and people will say, well, come on, it's Bath. But a lot of good two-year-olds run at Bath before going on to run or win at Royal Ascot. I mean, I'll give you three winners. Shining Hour won the Queen Mary, first run at Bath, then went to Royal Ascot. Radiohead won the Norfolk after winning at Bath. And the latest was Heartache, Clive Cox. We mentioned what a good two-year-old trainer he is. Heartache won at Bath before going to win the Queen Mary in 2017. And even in this race last year at Bath, Asterius, from the same connections, won that Bath race that this horse won, and then came fifth in the Norfolk. So, you know, it's a tried and tested route for Archie Watson. It's also a race that he loves at Ayr, that they're going to go to the Coventry with that winner that he's done before. But I really like this horse. I think it gives me the same sort of feel that Venetian Sun did last year. 8 to 1's not as good as 16, but I think he'll go really well.
Yeah, obviously helps to go to Bath if you want to go to Royal Ascot, because you're guaranteed fast ground pretty much as well. So yeah. You can get used to that. Okay, that is flight signal then. And over to you then, Harry, where you are, well, one of the most painful defeats for many punters last year. You'll be hoping that karma comes back around in the Ascot Stakes.
Yeah, it's one replay that I certainly won't be watching back, Ross, because yeah, I was all over reaching high in the Ascot Stakes last year. That reappearance at Leopardstown was always going to be a precursor to Royal Ascot, and you only have to look at his pedigree to see what stepping up in trip was going to do. His dam is the Royal Gold Cup winner estimate, and he's by Sea of the Stars, so he's always going to stay. Yeah, and I don't even have to watch it. It's such a vivid memory of Ryan Moore trying to go up the inside and just sitting there and sitting there and sitting there and just having absolutely nowhere to go. Only beating three lengths while hard on the bridle. You can't, obviously, you never know what you'd have found. He looked like he had loads of horse under him. Ryan Moore's back on. I guarantee he won't repeat those mistakes. And yeah, I just expect him to win. Royal winner at Royal Ascot. Fits the bill, doesn't it?
Yeah, and taking the Quivega route as well, Harry. Of we'll just run in this race next year. Never mind everything in between.
Yeah, it's like if it was any other trainer, you'd be a bit worried, wouldn't you? But yeah, it's Willie Mullins, and in Willie Mullins you trust.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and also they're probably thinking we don't want to blow that handicap mark. So
yeah, for sure.
All right, that's in the Ascot Stakes then, right? Number one for everyone then. The best bet on Royal Ascot 2026. I'm going to come to you again, Matt, for this one then. And again, if producer Sam was presenting this show, he'd be salivating just at the very idea of the horse that you're about to tip.
Yeah, there was definitely no pulling any teeth out of finding my best better than meeting anyway. Sorry, Sam. Yeah, I'm going with French runner, siding with the Aga Khans in this race, and Monsieur Francis Graffard, King Charles III Stakes on the opening day on Tuesday at 20-4. I really, really love the chances of Rajevka. I think she is an absolutely tailor-made for this five furlongs, a stiff five furlongs at Ascot. I think she's probably taken them all by surprise with how quick she is, really. I think she's from the family of Raif, the French 2000 guinea, who we're sadly not seeing this week. But she ran an absolute stormer at the track in the Commonwealth Cup last year. Sort of mildly lost her way a little bit afterwards. But when she was dropped back down to five furlongs in the Prix Saint-Georges on French 2000 guinea day, I think it was, she was unbelievably quick. I couldn't get my head around how quick she was. And she beat some very, very useful yardsticks there in France, doing handstands basically. And I think it's been mentioned Wiley as well. Overpass, I think he's a favourite for those merit who's running the Everest last year. However, he's not bringing that same Australian bomb-proof form that Nature Strip did when he won the King Charles III Stakes for Chris Waller, when he was actually the best, just simply sensational. I think there's questions about whether Knight Raider, is he going to handle this track? I don't know. American Affair, did he win a week of running last year? Although it was a good run last time round. As for it, is she the same horse that she once was? So I just think for Rajevka also getting weight as well from her main rivals, it's all falling into place quite nicely. I think she's quick as anything, and I would not be surprised if this has been on the task force for Graffard for a long time. We know how, we can all wax lyrical about how good of a trainer he is, but bringing in that strong course form, Rajevka, I think the stiff five furlongs at Ascot would just be absolutely perfect for her.
Yeah, course form, bit of confirmed stamina over further. They'll go a lickety split pace as well. Yeah, she's going to run a big race, I think. What about you then, Harry? You are again going for the, well, possibly the feature event of the entire week, and you are agreeing with Matt, albeit you're a bit stronger. In at number one for you, it is
Raheep. Yeah, one of my favourite horses in training, Ross. You just have to look at him, and he's just such a nice looking horse by Frankel. And I loved everything about him last year, so much so that I backed him for the St. Ledger quite early on, and I was gutted when Scandinavia beaten by a neck. But all you have to do is watch that race, and he ran the final two furlongs a lot quicker than Scandinavia. Staying was always going to be his game. And while last year looked more about learning, he looked a bit raw still, he seems to have really fully grown into himself. He looked a much improved model when landing the Yorkshire Cup. Look, it's not the deepest race ever, but all he could do was travel and assert, and that's exactly what he did. As Matt touched on earlier, he finished ahead of Scandinavia in the Queen's Vase. I like horses who've got previous Ascot form, and that's a big tick. He's got all the attributes that you need to win a Gold Cup, and I think this extra distance could be the making of him, and I think he could be the next big thing in the staying division.
All right, lovely stuff. Raheem better win then, or Matt and Harry are going to be pretty miffed come Thursday tea time. And Ed, over to you two to close it out with your number one, and both Head, Heart and Wallet for you combining, if you backed Venetian Sun last year as well.
Well, I was just about to say that line, Ross. You took it from me. Head and Heart for Venetian Sun for me. Did me a huge favour last year. I used to work for Tony Bloom, and Ian McAlevey, we used to be colleagues, so I know how much they've always loved this filly. Spoke to the racing manager actually after the Guineas, and immediately they said that they'll be going to six. And then those of you with good memories remember the Sandy Lane. I couldn't back Venetian Sun on the going, good to soft, and it was going to be softer. So I think Sam was our producer was saying, well, just back her for the Commonwealth Cup and then go against her in this race, which is what we did. And she was 8-1 at that time for the Commonwealth Cup, and she won the Sandy Lane on good to soft ground. But I think it was getting a bit better that time because the rain didn't come. And she won easily. And that, for me, just shows that she can go on any sort of ground. I much prefer it to be good or faster than on the soft side. I still have a worry about her on a soft surface. But that performance just puts her head in... That's the best form in the book, in my mind, for the Commonwealth Cup over six. A distance, of course, that she won over last year, as we all know. She will be trained for the minute to win this race for the connections. And although it's a short price, if I was asked, as I have been, for a number one selection, yeah, Venetian Sun is that selection. 7-4 there or thereabouts. Could see it getting shorter, actually. So hopefully doubles up in a second consecutive Royal Ascot victory.
All right, Venetian Sun then number one for Ed. So there's 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1 for our panel then. I was just having a look earlier about trying to put together fancy this horse can't be out of the frame sort of multiple for this week, and I kind of came down on More Thunder's the obvious one for me. I think he's everything you said, Ed, is bang on. I think he's just stays further, got the speed for a sprint trip though, ran on from the back last time at Newbury. The track's going to suit him down to the ground. Haggis is on fire. I mean, he always is, but he's even more on fire than he normally is. I agree with Talk of New York. I think he's going to run a blinder. Harry, he's just got that, like I said, that just je ne sais quoi, as Sam's French incisor. Sam's French incisor would say. Yeah, I think he's going to be very good. I fancy Gallian for the Queen's Vase, but I thought I was onto a slightly under the radar horse, and he's been smashed off the boards for Andrew Baldin. And I think Al Macam is going to run a big race in the Prince of Wales as well. I think he's taken steps forward, and he's going to put it up to his old rivals. So yeah, they would sort of be the four for me. I'll probably put them together in a little multi, and hope we at least hit the frame. But it's going to be a big week. Ed, just remind us of any other business before we wrap up.
Yeah, best place to go each day, unibet.co.uk/enclosure. Check the Racing Post paper. We'll have an advert there every day which goes through all the offers each day. Plenty of extra place races, as you would expect, for the big handicaps. Money back second or third, our flagship offer on at least one race every day. And ditto that for industry best price on one race per day. Then we've got all the boosts. So we have a uni boost where you can decide which horse that you boost on the price ladder. A super boost where we boost every single horse in the race to the next price up in the ladder. And then the price boost, we'll have three or four of those a day where we put the price of the favourite up a notch. So if you fancy a favourite in a race, and we're already best priced, that would be the place I would suggest to go, because we definitely have a better price available on those price boosts.
All right. And two more things before we go then. Very quickly, let's rattle through five through to one with each of you. Starting off with you, Matt. From five to one, Royal Ascot, your best bets, please.
Yep, fifth best bet for me, Raheem in the Gold Cup, 4:15 on Thursday. Fourth best, Coppel Commonwealth Cup, 3:05 on the Friday. Third best bet, Docklands in the Queen Anne Stakes, the open race of the meeting, 2:30 on Tuesday. Next best bet, Ombudsman, Prince of Wales Stakes, 4:20 on Wednesday. And the best bet of Royal Ascot 2026 for me is Rajevka in the King Charles III Stakes, 20-4, 3:40 on Tuesday.
Okay, and Harry, five through to one, please.
Number five, we have Darnholt Gallop in the Sandringham, which is 5:00 on Friday. Number four, we have Outback Heat, 4:50 Thursday, as the Britannia Stakes. In third, we have Talk of New York, the 4:20 on Tuesday at St James's Palace Stakes. My second best bet is Reaching High in the Ascot Stakes, 5:00 on Tuesday. And my best bet of Royal Ascot is Raheeb, which is in the Gold Cup, 4:15 on Thursday.
And see us out then, Ed, five through to one, please.
Yep, five, Minnie Hawk in the Prince of Wales Stakes. That's Wednesday at 4:20. Four, Controller, really good first-time out speed figure, hoping that she runs in the Windsor Castle, which is on Wednesday. But also she has got entry in the Albany, so bear that in mind. Three is More Thunder, the Queen Anne Stakes. The first race of the day is number three on the Tuesday. Flight Signal, one of my kind of big speed figure horses for the week. That's in the Norfolk Stakes on the Saturday, around about 2:30. And number one to win for the second consecutive Royal Ascot over six furlongs, it has to be the wonderful filly Venetian Sun.
Lovely stuff. Right, that brings it all together. The Racing Postcast will be having a week off during Royal Ascot to recover from all the fun games and winners, hopefully. And we'll be back the week after. So please like, subscribe and get involved this week. Enjoy Royal Ascot. Please gamble responsibly. And hopefully producer Sam will be back for the next one. And hopefully you didn't feel like watching this was... like pulling teeth. Sorry, Sam. Couldn't resist one more.